We're very thankful for the privilege of teaching the Word of God to you. And we believe that the moment has come for a fresh revelation of the person of the Holy Spirit. Maybe the deepest cry in my inner person is that I shall come to know more about the person of the Holy Spirit. We come to know the person of the Lord Jesus Christ very beautifully, how he was born, but the Holy Spirit has no such record. It only tells us that Christ would not have been here had not the Holy Spirit overshadowed the Virgin and caused her to conceive and to bring forth that Son. He walked among men and they saw the length of his fingers, the size of his nose, and the way his hair fell around his shoulders. But with the Holy Spirit, we do not have that. There's our difficulty, I think. If we can get past corporality and realize that there is personality further extended than corporality, I believe we can discover something. And that's what we're seeking for. We are studying, beginning on page 42, the work of the Holy Spirit in the early church. It is my opinion the Holy Spirit functioned stronger in the early church than it ever has since. Possibly that should hurt us inside. But when you go and see the masterpieces by the great artists of old, they are unmatched today. So maybe they had something that we don't have, but we're going to penetrate. Can you say amen? In the book of Romans, chapter 8 and verse 14, it says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, capital S, a person, he is called the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. The Holy Spirit himself leads and guides the body called the church. I believe that a misconception and ignorance of the Holy Spirit can only bring weakness and inefficiency. And I think that that is the reason why something within me demanded me to teach these lessons. That when we have misconceptions of the Holy Spirit or we have ignorance of the Holy Spirit, the only thing it can do is to weaken the body and to cause the ministry to be inefficient. God cannot bless ignorance. You know, he's a wise God. He can teach people, but he can't bless ignorance. And therefore, we should all seek to know. And in seeking to know, we will have strength. And also, we will be able to get a job done for Jesus that'll make us glad. Can you say amen? Amen. The Holy Spirit is planet Earth related. I'm sure he will have activities in eternity. But we discover him so strong in that in the first pages of the Bible, he took a chaos and created a cosmos with it. So the first thing that we ever know of him doing is stilling a storm, of bringing loveliness out of something that had no beauty, of bringing quietness out of disruptions. It says the Spirit of the Lord moved upon the deep. Well, if he had that ministry in the beginning, he has that ministry today because he is eternal in his functions and in all of his operations. So the work of the Holy Spirit being everlasting has not only worked in the first pages of history, but all during all dispensations, right straight through the great tribulation, the Holy Spirit will function on planet Earth. What he does in heaven, we'll find out when we get there. But he is earth related all through the entire Bible. And this should cause us to reach for a stronger grasp about him. In our lesson, the work of the Holy Spirit in the early church, He gave birth to that church. He caused it to be born. That when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And then at that point, suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. And he began to cause natural things to take place. Sound from heaven. They heard it with their ears. A wind, we understand wind. And there was fire upon each of their heads. We understand fire. And there were tongues that they began to speak. And because of that phenomena, 3,000 people from all over the known world became the body that day. Yeah, the church wasn't born like a baby. It was born full grown. It walked across the stage of time as a full grown creature in the very moment of its conception. The Holy Spirit in the New Testament has a tremendous relationship with the individual called a disciple. In John 14 and 16, Jesus said, I will pray the Father and he will send to you another comforter that he may abide with you forever. Say, abide with you forever. Amen. Yeah. And even the Spirit of truth and the world cannot receive because he seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But you know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. And so the relationship with the Holy Spirit in the birth of this new dispensation was a personal reality. He came within people and dwelt within people. He wasn't an abstract situation. He wasn't a set of laws like you have the Ten Commandments. He, as a person, was going to dwell within a person. Going to be a person-to-person relationship. In Romans 8 and 9, it says, but ye are not in the flesh, but you are in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. And so in John 14 and also in Romans 8 and 9, it spoke of him dwelling inside of us, being in us. Well, you know, the facts of the promise became the factors of power. And we're so glad that we are, you know, related to that in Jesus' name. If you would, I'm going to come back to page one there to your 1, 2, 3, 4 points in just a moment. If you would move to page two for me, please, which would be 43 in your teaching syllabus there. At the top of the page, the ministry to the church and to the world in this dispensation of the Holy Spirit, that in Joel 2 and 28, when it was said, it shall come to pass after that I pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams and your young men shall see visions. And so it wasn't going to be a special kind of man. You know, we're so used to people being, you know, there was Moses. And when you see Moses, you see the whole law. In the Holy Spirit age here, it wasn't going to be that way. Not only was he going to have a strong relationship with person, but it's also with persons. He says, sons, daughters, you know, old men, young men. What a magnitude of revelation he was going to bring. Every one of us are in place, the young people, the older people, the men, the women. We are included in what he's going to do in our time. And I believe he's going to do something more in our time than he's ever done before. And I'm ready for it. Amen. Yeah. And I wouldn't want anybody to miss what the Holy Spirit wants to do. He's going to work specifically with persons. He's going to work with all kinds of persons. They're not going to be a mighty one sailing out there in the beautiful space by himself, and we're all going to bow down to him and say, isn't he a wonderful person? But he's going to work in the body. He's going to work through us. They're nobodies. They're going to become somebodies. And God is going to move. It says daughters, sons, fathers and mothers. He's going to move through us all. In verse 29, he said, and upon the servants, hey, that'll knock you on it. He's not an apostle or a prophet. He's a servant, you see. And upon the servants, upon the handmaidens, I'm going to pour out my spirit. There will never have been a universal outpouring of a person upon people in the history of the world like we're going to witness. He says it shall come to pass in the last days. That was in Joel 2:28. This was confirmed in Acts 2:16 when Peter said, but this that which was spoken of the prophet Joel, and he reiterated what I had just given to you there. And then in verse 33, he says, therefore being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he has shed forth this which ye now see and hear. And so Peter demonstrated before the people this phenomena of the third person of the Trinity and what he could do. He may again do like he did on the first day when the church was born. Loud voices. That'll put a lot of people out of the seat. Fire. That'll put some scaredy cats somewhere else. Wind. A lot of people can't stand strong winds. Whatever he does, I want the body of Christ to be ready for it. Amen. And I'm sure that we are ready for the greatest move of God the world has ever known. And it's going to come through the person of the Holy Ghost. So let's know him in a very beautiful way. In your C point there, Jesus promised the church that the Holy Ghost would stay right here with us forever. And that you find in John 14:16. I pray the Father, he'll give you this comfort. He will abide with you forever. There's not going to be any releasing. There's not going to be any diminishing. While some churches say God is not doing as much as he used to do, I have news for them. He's going to do more than he's ever done before. Yeah. Yeah. We're not going to get the leftovers of a great banquet. We're going to have the banquet itself. And we're ready for it. In Jesus' name. And now in number eight, it is possibly the very crux of this particular lesson here. In the three, this is on page 43 still, right in the middle of the page. The threefold ministry of the Holy Spirit that the Lord Jesus told us about in John 16 and 7. It says that the Holy Spirit, that when he is come, that he will do three things. John 16:7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, that the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will, number one, reprove the world of sin. He will reprove the world of righteousness. He will reprove the world of judgment. So this person, when he is in his great strength, and I believe in these last days, we're going to see these three things come to the fore in a way that we have not been able to observe them ever before. It's most beautiful here that Jesus called the Holy Spirit the Comforter. The Greek word there is Paraclete. And that he is God's one that walks along beside us. That's what the Paraclete is. One that walks along beside. And that he will be the one that walks along beside us. And three things the body of Christ is going to do through the power of the Holy Ghost. All right. Number one was that when he comes in his strength and his fullness and his power, he is going to convict men of sin. Now, I just want to say that there is no other power that can convict men of sin. And in churches that have very little move of the Holy Spirit, people are not convicted of sin. I was in a meeting one time when a woman walked in and said, I'd like to speak in this meeting. And God's called me here to speak to you. And a little woman that never did look around to see who it was, although I saw her, began to speak and said, you are a harlot and you are from St. Louis, Missouri. And you're living in this town with a man you're not married to. And you you said that you would come and mock this little group of people and take up money from them and you'd have a time with it tonight, and said if you don't repent, you will die. And when she said that, this harlot ran out of the building. We never did see her anymore. It was a prayer meeting, Wednesday night prayer meeting. There wouldn't be over 50 people there. And she thought she would come and take up an offering from those 50 people and go live in sin with it that night. But by the gift of the Holy Spirit, you see, by the Holy Spirit speaking through that woman. I have to be honest with you. As soon as it happened, we all got on the floor. And nobody stayed on the seat. If the presence of the Holy Ghost came in this room to judge right now, there wouldn't be a person left in their seats. If you think you're brave, you'd be the first one under the pew. Yeah. His presence is awesome. He strikes terror to sin. He strikes terror to sin. He will convict the world of sin. There's so many things in our world today that hurt us, that love God, that when we have in the church open sin, the time will come, I believe, when God's going to rid the church of the whole thing. There won't be any in the church. And I wouldn't want to be ruthless at all, but if God wants to take people like Ananias and Sapphira and kill them in the altar, we'll have the ushers to bury them. Because you don't read the next verse to that. The next verse says that fear came over the whole city. The Bible says one of the ministers of the Holy Spirit is to convict men of sin. Now, not many things will convict you of sin. You do things, oh, it's all right, it's all right. You make excuses for your sins. But when the Holy Spirit comes and he makes a conviction, there's a different world around us. He says, when he has come, he will prove the world of sin and of righteousness, of judgment, of sin, because they don't believe on me. Anyone who refuses the blood of Jesus Christ for their salvation, don't believe on him. No matter what they say, they just don't believe on him. However, he will reprove of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. He will reprove those. He will reprove those that say, I don't believe in the resurrection of the dead. I don't believe Jesus was caught back up to heaven. I don't believe he's interceding for me. And he is going to reprove them because divine righteousness was shed abroad and their unbelief kept them from getting it. There are so many unbelievers in the world that we live today. And of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. And the prince of this world was broken down and beaten and destroyed by the power of the resurrected Christ. So the work of the Holy Spirit can transform the person under conviction of sin. This is his number one function, really. And in the present dispensation, some people run to the altar to repent. Others freeze in their place and refuse to budge. In one of my own services, a young man got so under conviction of sin that rather than saying, would you let me out? He just said, move your head. And he came walking across the top of the pews because he couldn't get to the end of the seat fast enough. Tears running down his face. People didn't move fast enough, left and right, so he came over the top. Now, I want to say so very strong that in a lot of religion today, there is no conviction of sin. And the reason for it is that they are not convicted of judgment. If they knew there was going to be judgment, it would make a whole another world. Can you say amen? Amen. And so he says he will convict the world, or convince the world of righteousness. This is the top of page 44. He convinces people of the righteousness of Jesus and all the claims of Jesus. The Holy Spirit convinces people that Jesus is truly deity. Truly. He convinces men of Jesus' unlimited power and glory. That Christ is the righteous one, and there is no other one except him. Jesus expressed it in John 17:5. Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. He wanted an expression of who he was into the hearts and lives of those who were to follow him. The Holy Spirit convinces the world that Jesus, who is now ascended to heaven, is just as powerful in our times as he was when he was walking right here on the face of the earth. That anything he did then, he can do now. That's the business of the Holy Spirit, to convince men of that righteousness. Jesus said in Matthew 28 and 18, "All power is given to me and in heaven and earth." He still has it. He has not lost it. It has not diminished in any way whatsoever. The Holy Spirit glorifies Jesus by proclaiming him as Lord. Many people have lost that. There are people that receive Jesus as a Savior, but he's not their Lord. No, he's not their Lord. They've got a lot of things that are Lord in their lives, but it isn't Jesus. They've got a lot of firsts in their lives, but it's not Jesus. He can be your Savior and not your Lord. And it's the Holy Spirit seeking to make Jesus Lord in our lives. These are the things the Holy Spirit is supposed to be doing in the church, in our church, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. In John 16, 13, it says, "Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come," isn't it nice that one of his names is Spirit of Truth? "He will guide you into all truth. He shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, he shall speak, and he will show you things to come." And so he, the Spirit of truth, will guide us into the truth about the Lord Jesus Christ. Not speak of himself, but he will speak of the Lord Jesus Christ and shall guide us into ultimate truth. The Holy Spirit confirms a believer's relationship. In 1 John 3 and 2 says, "Beloved, we are the sons of God. It doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know this, that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." It's the business and the work of the Holy Spirit to confirm your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, without him, you may never get to know that. His ministry to the body of Christ is to reveal to us that our Lord Jesus Christ has a tremendous relationship with us, and that it is in proclaiming him to be Lord. When the Holy Spirit spoke through Peter on Pentecost, he convicted the audience of the righteousness of Jesus. 3,000 converts came as a result of that anointed message that was there. And so the Holy Spirit does convict men of righteousness. Your C point, the Holy Spirit convicts men of judgment. And the same hour was there a great earthquake, and the tenth part of the city fell, and in the earthquake were slain of men 7,000, and the remnant were frightened and gave glory to the God of heaven. The Holy Spirit is to show people what God's judgment is. I'm sure that natural things can happen in the earth, and the sinner man doesn't understand them, and the spiritual man says, "Say, that's the judgment of God." He convinces the world of judgment. Maybe you know, and we all know, that Satan at least partially controls much of the world's systems today. For example, your educational system. That most of it denies God as a God, and denies Genesis as a true book, and denies you the privilege of salvation that they say it's not real. Most of our government makes laws that are against God and against the church, and they think they have a right to do that. The economy is set up in a way that if you're not careful, it'll sweep you all away in evil, because it's an evil thing. Religion is even set up that you must bow down to Baal and bow down to the things of this world. And so the devil does control, but the Holy Spirit convinces men that these systems are under God's judgment. And you better believe it. That's the problem in the world today. They're under the judgment of God through the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit reveals that we as Christians are more than conquerors through Christ against these systems. In Romans 8:37, "Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us." Now let's go back to page one. Don't go the wrong way there. Let's go back to page one. What is the ministry of the Holy Spirit? Not only to reveal, you know, judgment and righteousness and sin and so forth, but also Peter Peter received an amazing revelation by the Spirit, it says here. In Acts 10 and 19, it says, the Spirit said unto him. So he received a revelation of ministry. Well, God hadn't stopped doing that. Today, you can receive a revelation of ministry through the Holy Ghost. Your number, your next number there, I have it number 10. I don't know where you've gotten to from here. The Holy Spirit chose Paul and Silas to go do a job. Acts 13, 2. And they ministered to the Lord and fasted. And the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul. And so the Holy Spirit chose particular people in the body to go and do a job. This is the work of the Holy Spirit in the early church. It's going to be the same in the latter church. There are going to be men that will go out anointed of the Holy Ghost through the power of the Holy Spirit from our bodies, from our groups. It's a new day. I'm ready for it. The next one, the Holy Spirit forbade Paul to go to the east. That is a very sad one. He was forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. That's Acts 16:6. Had he done it and they had received him, Asia would be the place of the gospel and not Europe and America. But the Holy Spirit bade him to go to the west, and he would not permit him to go to the east, which gives you and myself the gospel of the Lord Jesus. All right, let's go to the page 4 now, please. And you may have to write what I want to give you. The truth of the person of the Holy Spirit was mostly lost during what we call the Dark Ages in the church. And now it's returning very slowly. And the nearer the church comes to the return of Jesus Christ, the more powerful the Holy Spirit himself is going to become. And those who do not believe in the second return of Christ know very little about the person of the Holy Spirit. Don't ever forget that. A man that doesn't believe that Jesus is coming soon also knows almost nothing about the Holy Ghost. And those that know the most about the person of the Holy Spirit believe that Jesus' coming is imminent. The two go together.